Welcome to the weekly service message from the Crossbridge Church. Look for us on the web at www.crossbridgeny.org. Join us now as Pastor Terry Wiese delivers this week's message.
Good morning and welcome to Crossbridge. We are happy and thankful that you chose to come and worship with us today. We are only a week and a half away from Christmas, and that places us in the middle of our Advent series. Can you believe it? Christmas is just like a week and a half away. That's amazing. It was just January the other day. But in our Advent series, we learned of the world's need of a Savior. And Pastor Matt brought that out. Last week, I shared with you about the promise of a Savior and how necessary it was to have that promise to engage the people of Israel and the world. And today, we'll be looking in the book of Luke and read of the announcement of a Savior. And if you have your Bibles today, go ahead and open them to Luke chapter 2. You'll find that on page 857 in the Bible that is in the chair in front of you. Now, when you hear the word announcement, what comes to your mind? What is it that really comes to your mind when you think of the word announcement? Well, announcement, you may think about it, somebody's getting married, somebody has a new baby, or someone has died. Well, an announcement is a public and typically formal statement about a fact, an occurrence, or an intention. And in today's text, we're going to read about a very important announcement that took place long ago and forever changed the world. And so I invite you, in honoring the Word of God, to stand with me as I read His holy Word, the precious Word of God in Luke chapter 2. May God really bless us with this Word this morning. We'll begin reading in verse 8, in Luke chapter 2, reading through verse 14. Verse 8. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased." Let's bow for prayer. Father, it is our desire and our hearts want to praise You and to glorify You. It is our greatest desire, Lord, to become more like You each and every day. It's my desire, Father, that You would enable this word that You've given me to go forth with the power of the Holy Spirit, that it would bring joy of salvation to the lost. It would bring joy and encouragement to those that are living life and oftentimes in trials and tragedies. Lord, struggles that we all have. That this would be a message of encouragement and strengthening to us, that the Word of God is true and that the prophecies have been fulfilled. And Lord, You have done what You promised. May today we celebrate Christmas in a new light of really realizing what Christmas is really all about. May You be glorified today, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We just read in our text of perhaps the greatest and profound and impactful statement or announcement that was ever made. It was a timeless announcement that just as important today as it was back then, more than 2,000 years ago. And so let's look together at verse 8, and we'll be talking about the setting and the audience of the announcement. And in verse 8 it says, "And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night." Now let's break this down a little bit and look at the different sections of this. In the same region, you know, really let's think about that. That causes us to ask a question. What region are they talking about here? Well, if we were to look at the preceding verses, we would see in verse 4 that Joseph and Mary traveled from Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem to be registered. It was there in Bethlehem that Mary gave birth to the Savior, Jesus. And our text says, "And in the same region, in the same area, very near Bethlehem, there were some shepherds out in the field at night watching over their sheep." The big announcement that's coming is not going to be proclaimed before Caesar Augustus or any other royalty, nor is it going to be presented to the religious leaders. It's going to be announced to a group of shepherds who are watching over their flock of sheep. And so that leads us to ask, who are these shepherds? Well, among the Jews during this period, shepherds were socially looked down upon. They were held in low esteem among the people of the world. Their work made them ceremonially unclean. They often had the reputation of being untrustworthy. Now, we don't know much about these shepherds, and we really don't know why God chose them to be the audience to hear the greatest announcement made. However, the way most viewed shepherds makes them perhaps the most unlikely group to which God's angel would proclaim the good news of the Savior. Being a shepherd wasn't an illegitimate profession. It wasn't a shameful profession. It was just a lowly profession. And to most people, shepherds were insignificant. They were just basically ignorant. They were uneducated and unskilled. It didn't take any special talent or skills for them. The shepherds were simply just keeping watch over the sheep. The sheep now in Bethlehem were those used for daily sacrifice. It was important. The lambs were to be with no flaw in them. So the shepherds had to watch these sheep very carefully. And it was so important for them to keep watch over these sheep to protect them from wolves and other beasts of prey. And so the shepherds also kept watch to make sure that not any of the sheep would stray away. And the shepherds didn't think of themselves as somebody. They didn't think of themselves as more than what they were. They were simply ordinary shepherds who had a job to do, and so they did it. And so we know the setting where the announcement will take place, and we know the audience who will hear the first and greatest announcement. It's the lowly shepherds in Bethlehem taking care of their sheep out in the field. And so we need to ask ourselves this question: who's going to make this biggest announcement? Who's going to make that announcement? So let's look at verse 9. We're going to see who this messenger is making this announcement. In verse 9 it says, "And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them." So let's take a moment and kind of look at this verse carefully. An angel of the Lord appeared to them. So we have to understand that this was just an ordinary night like any other night. The shepherds were doing what they do. They always had done. They were telling their stories. They were playing their flutes. And they were just doing what shepherds do, watching over the flock. And an angel of the Lord appeared before them. Now, I want you to kind of visualize that for a moment. I want you to visualize that we're just around the campfire and that we're talking, and then all of a sudden, an angel appears before you. Think about that. I can't read this. I can't read this with a soft, gentle voice. And an angel of the Lord appeared to that. You just can't read that because it's so startling, it's so amazing that this is happening. And so we could read it like this. It would go like this. Bam! And an angel of the Lord appeared to them. And that Greek word appeared means to come upon them. Scare them, startle them. Yesterday, I was in here and I was practicing and trying to get my sermon, working out some things. And I was here and I was preaching to empty walls and empty chairs. And all of a sudden, I look up and I was startled. Shrina had come in. She was getting something up here, scared me to death. I mean, I was startled. And that's kind of the way these were doing here. These shepherds were startled. It come upon them. It suggests a sudden appearance. The angel's appearance was sudden. It was instantaneous. It was shocking to them. In one minute they were peacefully minding their own business, taking care of the sheep, and the next minute, right in the midst, stood an angel in the brilliance of angelic glory. Which angel was it? Our text doesn't tell us. But theologians suggest it's the angel Gabriel, one of God's messengers. You may remember it was the angel Gabriel who appeared to Mary to tell her that God had chosen her to be the mother of the Messiah. It would be only fitting that he be the angel to make this wonderful announcement about the birth of the Messiah to the shepherds. I know oftentimes we go through this once a year. We go through the Advent series and we talk about it. But there is great significance to this. And oftentimes we just let it go, it's just Christmas. But this is a great significant event that a Savior is going to be born to us. And we'll get to that in just a moment. But it would only be fitting here that it be an angel, and that would hopefully be Gabriel to make this wonderful announcement. And look at verse 9, the latter part. And the glory of the Lord shone round them. Now, this suggests the thought of the Shekinah glory. Now, the Shekinah glory is that which is a visible manifestation of God on earth. It's usually represented as light or a cloud, an intolerable brightness, which was a sign or a symbol of divine presence in the tabernacle or in the temple, and that we could read about in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 10 and 11, and Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. And you may remember in Exodus 33, where God tucked Moses into the rock, and he let him see just a little bit of his glory. Moses was only allowed to see what God revealed to him. Otherwise, it would have cremated Moses. And that's why God said to Moses, "You can't see my face, for man shall not see me and live." I want us to grasp the significance of how God has laid all this out. Everything is here. Here is the messenger making this announcement. And what a privilege, what had been the privilege of patriarchs and priests before was now granted to the shepherds, not to the priests or the patriarchs. This angel was representing the presence of God. And it says in the latter part of verse 9 and first part of verse 10, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not." Of course they're filled with fear. Who wouldn't be? I can't comprehend in my mind, in my emotions, how startling that would be and how awesome it would be, but how fearful I would be at that moment, not knowing what was going to happen. And they were filled with great fear. We might say they were scared out of their wits, but the angel said immediately, "Fear not." Whenever we read about angels appearing before anyone, it's usually accompanied with the words, "And the angel said, fear not. Do not be afraid." And so we have this here, and I can only imagine in my mind here what these shepherds saw when the angel appeared. I don't believe that the angel was some type of hideous or ugly, grotesque creature. But I do believe the angel was larger than life. Mighty, powerful, like a warrior. It's just like a warrior would be, and they're in awe, and they're just startled. Fearful. And yet these words seemed to calm their fears. We don't read of them running away. We don't read of them screaming in some type of uncontrollable panic. His words were calming enough so that he could continue his announcement. And what did the angel say? So let's ask what the angel said. Look with me in verse 10, the latter part 10 through verse 12. It says, "For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." Good news of great joy. Good news. Glad tidings is translated gospel. Good news, the gospel. And the angel said, "Behold, listen up. Now hear this. I have some good news to share with you. And not only is this news for you, but it's for all the people. And this news is a matter of great joy." We can look at him like an evangelist, this angel, sent by God to share the good news. And what is that good news? "For unto you," verse 11, "for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." To the Jew, they were looking for a Savior that would come and rescue the nation of Israel, establish them as the world power, make them the premier nation of the world, and set up the ruling tribes, and they would just be all excited. This was great news, but this was more than that. That was not to be the case at that point. But what is to be the case is that he came to seek and to save those that were lost. And so he continues, "Unto you is born this day." You realize that oftentimes we think of things in history and we think about those things, but we don't really realize that this was a real day. It was a day planned in eternity before the creation of the world, according to Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. And we don't know the exact day, but it was a very real day. And he was born and he came to earth in the fullness of time. Now, that word fullness of time actually just simply means that God brought him at the time God wanted him to come. And so, at the fullness of time, in the city of David, oh, Bethlehem, the city of David is a real place. A real city. That's where David was anointed king. And most theologians say that this is also probably the birthplace of David. And Jerusalem had been referred to as the city of David. Oh, but through the years, much like in the lives of people, but through the years, the nation of Israel, the city of Jerusalem, sad to say, but became corrupt in politics and power. Luke is highlighting Jesus' opposition to the powers that be in Jerusalem it was only 6 miles north of the town of Bethlehem. And Luke is reminding us that the Savior, the Messiah, the Anointed One, came from the city of David, the small town of Bethlehem, and he would stand up for the little guys. He made the announcement to the shepherds, the insignificant, the outsiders, the lowly, the unimportant ones. And why is this significant? Because it tells us in verse 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." This is the center point of the announcement. This is the main point of the whole point of the announcement. I want you to get this, shepherds. Get this, Crossbridge Church. This day, a Savior is born. The message from the angel is about the arrival of a Savior that was long promised and much expected and foretold of in Isaiah chapter 6, a Savior whom God provided and appointed for all eternity, a Savior, our Deliverer, who is complete in every way, supreme in authority and a master of all, willing and able to save people from their sins. Save them from Satan, from the law, from the world, from death and hell, and wrath to come, and from every enemy. There's an article by John Gill. He's a theologian. And I'd like to share with you what he wrote. And I want you to realize how he says valuable this announcement, and this is about Christ. He speaks of Christ here, and I quote, "This is Christ. This Christ is the Messiah, spoken of by the prophets, the anointed of the Lord, with the Holy Ghost, without measure, to be a prophet, a priest, and king in his church, and who is the true Jehovah, the Lord of righteousness, the Lord of all creatures, the Lord of angels, good and bad, the Lord of all men as creator, and who is particularly the Lord of saints by his Father's gift. His own purchase, the espousal of them to himself, and by the power of grace upon them, and the birth of such a person must needs be joyful and is to be accounted good news and glad tidings." End of quote. That's our Savior. I think sometimes we just get lost in the season and not in the person who came and gave us everything we need for eternal life, gave us all that we need to live this life here. I think we just get lost in all this, and we miss all this that's important, and we just get tied up in the season. And if you look at the latter part of the angel's announcement in verse 12, it says this, "And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." Now, as the angel is communicating his message to the shepherds, he tells them not only of the birth of a Savior, but he tells them how they will know him, because that's important. "And when they go to see him in Bethlehem, where Joseph and Mary are staying, there will be a sign, the proof, that will let them know that the child is the Savior. It is that they will find him wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." There may be other children at that place where Joseph and Mary are staying, but none of them will be wrapped in swaddling cloths, and none of them will be lying in a manger. I don't know that many of us really realize what a manger is, but a manger is what we call, in the farming world, is a feed trough. It's where you put hay or put other stuff a little bit off the ground where animals can eat. Their saliva gets on there and everything's in there and the hay's in there. Well, that's where our Savior was born. And to find a baby in a manger is in stark contrast between the things that the shepherds would find out about him, that he is Jesus, the Christ, the Lord, the Savior. I mean, it's just not fitting that's where he would be yet. And all this happened just as it was foretold in the Old Testament in Isaiah, all according to God's plan. If you look in verse 13 and 14, we're going to find some interesting things here. It's at this point that the angel has made his announcement. He's kind of closing this announcement up. And we don't know if the shepherds are still fearful. We don't know if they have calmed down after listening to the angel's message. We don't know if they were still listening and watching in fear and trembling. But verse 13 tells us this. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God. Do you see that word there, suddenly? If anything would give them a heart attack, it would have been these two things. The appearance of an angel, and there's that word suddenly, and I can't read that word with a quiet, gentle voice. I would read it like, and suddenly, bam, out of nowhere, the angel and the shepherds were now joined by a heavenly host of angels. You know, the heavenly host in this context are God's holy angels who dwell in God's presence. And that word host refers to a great number of an army. They are loyal and they're obedient to God, God's commands. They carry out His orders. They're obeying His will, whose primary purpose is to continually praise God. Listen, church, I want us to grasp this. I want us to hold on to this for just a moment. What is taking place here on this dark, starry night in this little town of Bethlehem? These lowly shepherds are doing what they do best. They're taking care of the sheep. And a mighty warrior angel appeared to them with a wonderful, life-changing announcement for all of mankind. Perhaps once they got over their initial fear, they listened with great intent and amazement at the message coming from that angel. Why is he telling us? We're just shepherds. But if that wasn't enough, the amazing was going to get ready to turn into an all-out awesome, an awesome night. When the heavenly host appeared next to the angel, and I don't know how many, but I like to believe it was a vast army of angels, all singing glory to God. The continual praise of God by the angels in heaven is one of many depictions in the Bible that emphasizes the importance of worship. Praising our Creator in heaven is the highest duty for us as believers. We're to bring glory to Him. We are to praise Him. And Scripture exhorts us to worship the Lord in all that we do. In 1 Corinthians 10:31, we're to bring glory and worship Him. And all we should look forward to corporate worship each Sunday. For it's here that we gather together, that we glorify God in the presence of His people and angels, that we are here together not only to glorify God, but we are here to be an encouragement, a strength to one another, to help each other to get through the challenges of life on a daily basis. But in the moment of all this, we have this wonderful promise from God that a Savior was going to be, and that promise came into the fulfillment with the announcement, and Mary gave birth to Jesus, the Savior. So there among the sheep, out in the middle of a field, the angels not only heard the announcement from the angel, but they get to hear this beautiful praises sung by an angelic choir. Listen, I've heard a lot of choirs, especially from those that are professionals and stuff, but there's nothing going to be in comparison to this choir. This choir. And they're singing, but what are they singing about? And verse 14 tells us, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased. Glory to God in the highest. That is praising God for redeeming man. That's the plan of redemption, will bring glory to God and is designed to express His glory. Nowhere could God's glory be more emphasized and more exhibited than in the giving of His only begotten Son to die for the people of the world. I want us to understand that we were created to bring glory to God. We were created to live with the glory of God in view. You and I were created with that principal motivation in our lives that God would be praised. We were created to live with this upward focus existence, that a God-focused existence. So we have this upward-focused existence just to look and praise the wonderful God that He is. Creation. But what we must ask ourselves, do I do all that I do for the glory of God? Or do I do it for myself? That's an important question. Because what's hindering me from doing everything I do for God's glory? And oftentimes that's the hard stuff. That's when people are mean to you and you respond with grace. That is times when people are treating you wrongly and you respond with grace. That is the time when struggles come in life that you still respond with grace and thankfulness to God that He has provided for you in His time. Creation was designed to remind us of the glory of God and to point us toward God. You see, everything that was created was meant to point the finger that points us to the person and the character and the plan of God. And that we would be reminded again and again, everywhere we look, that God is and God must be the center of our existence. The heavenly host is singing praise to God and to God alone for His love in redeeming His people by sending His Son, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. They sing of His peace and goodwill toward men. Peace among men with whom He is pleased. Do you ever desire just to have peace in the world, in our country, at your job, at your school? Do you ever desire just to have peace in your family? Peace in your own heart? They sing peace and goodwill toward men, peace among with whom He is pleased. All of these relationships have been damaged by sin, and no one but God can rectify that. The birth of Christ was coming into humanity of the one who brings peace with God, with ourselves, and with one another. This is God's will toward men, that He sent His Son, Jesus, to pay the price for our sins to bring us peace. That's something really for us to sing about. And as we think and as we celebrate about the birth of Christ this Advent season, maybe we'll be looking back at His coming with praise and thankfulness. Maybe we'll be amazed and joyful because Christ came, that announcement of the angel gave to the shepherds had brought hope to all who would believe. But because it was through this precious gift, the gift of God's Son coming to earth to live and to die and to resurrect on our behalf, that we could have eternal salvation. We can't do it ourselves. You can't live your life and expect that your life will be good enough to bring you into the presence of God. Our sin have separated us from our God. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. In fact, Ephesians tells us this gift of salvation is from God, and nothing at all that we can boast about, we cannot save ourselves. We are sinners in need of a Savior. And if we would just really focus today about how great this announcement was and the fulfillment of that announcement in Mary giving birth to the Savior of the world. You see, we are sinners in need of a Savior. And perhaps you're here today and you don't know the Jesus we talk about. Maybe you do not have a personal relationship with Him. I'm not talking about believing about God in your mind or believing in a higher power. I'm inviting you to have a relationship with a Savior who paid for your sins and bore the penalty that you should have bore. And there's just some simple things to do with this. Admit that you're a sinner. I'm telling you, pride gets in the way for all of us. No one wants to think they're a sinner. No one wants to think that they're as bad as anyone else, especially those that are in prison or those that are doing terrible, sinful, degrading things. We don't want to think of ourselves this way, but the Bible tells us that we're a sinner, and we just need to admit to that. We need to admit to the fact that there's nothing that we can do and realize that your sin and my sin has condemned me to hell, and know and believe that Jesus came to save you from your sin and from me from my sin. Accept His gift of salvation and be cleansed of your unrighteousness, trading them for the righteousness of Christ. He paid the penalty for your sin. God's announcement of the Savior was an announcement of that there is hope. Hope in the fact that He paid for our sins. That's why I'm inviting you to this morning. This time of the year, I often see this quote, and you've probably seen it already, but it's Jesus is the reason for the season. And He is. But what does that really mean to you? What does that mean to me? Do we really grasp the significance of why He came and why He was born in a manger in the city of Bethlehem as we're busy about shopping and running from store to store, putting those presents under the tree, and we're singing in our hearts, glory to God in the highest? Is that what we're singing? Don't misunderstand me. I am not against giving gifts, and I'm really not against receiving them. I like that part. I want to just gently remind you and myself included that it really is all about Christ. I don't know if or how you celebrate Christmas. I don't know if you have a big family gathering or you just spend a quiet Christmas at home. I don't know if you exchange gifts with one another or if you just simply sit down and read the Scripture together with your family. You see, the how you celebrate is not nearly as important as the who that you celebrate. Whether you're celebrating with family members or sitting in the front of a fireplace by yourself as a Christ follower, we should all rejoice that the Savior came. Rejoice that He came to save us from our sins. Rejoice that there's forgiveness. I cannot help but tell you that forgiveness, without it, I would go insane. I would think, this life is not worth it. There's no hope. You see, rejoice that He loved us. Rejoice that He chose us. He forgave us, he redeemed us, and He adopted us into His family. I'm not the orphan out there that's been doomed and damned to hell. I've been adopted into the family of God. Rejoice that we are sealed by the power of the Holy Spirit, surrounded by chaos and unrest. We can have peace in Christ. Rejoice that we're not the citizens of this world, but look forward to our home in heaven. Rejoice. Rejoice that we will live one day in heaven with Him eternally? This kind of announcement, this is the kind of announcement that needs sharing with others, specifically those who do not know Christ. Listen. Salvation is too great of a gift to keep hidden. It's too precious to keep to ourselves. Well, I don't know that I can talk to anybody. I don't know how to share the gospel and this great announcement, and I am in Christ and I love Him. I just don't know that I could tell Him. Well, how is it that we can not do that, but if our neighbor's house was on fire, we would make every effort to get them out of that house? And yet, our neighbors, our friends, and our family, their life is in danger of eternal damnation in a place called hell that burns with fire forever and ever. This message is too great to keep to ourselves. It's too precious not to share. My question is, who are you going to share this message with during this Christmas season? Who are you going to share Him with today, tomorrow, at work, at home, or at school? See, Christ came to let the whole world know. Shout this announcement to all who could hear. Share Christ with someone this week. Because you may be thinking, why? Why should I just share it? I've got salvation. I'm going to heaven. My family's saved. And everything's good. Why should I do that? I'm afraid of what they might say. I'm afraid they might be offended. I'm afraid they might say something that's not nice to me. I'm afraid that I'll be rejected. I'm afraid of this. But Christ bore your sins and mine. Christ has come to let the whole world know. We should be shouting this announcement from the top of our lungs. Share Christ with someone this week. Why? Because Christ is mine and is yours if you're in Christ forevermore. Evermore. Share Him. I'd like for you to stand with me as the praise team comes. Father, I'm asking that You would really work in the hearts of each and every one of us, that even these simple words of the announcement, Your announcement of a Savior, the simplicity of just having peace with You through Jesus Christ, that for You is born this day in a city. That's just amazing to me. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. God, help me to realize the vital importance of Christ in my life and to live for Him each and every day. Help me to share more of the gospel each and every day with neighbors, friends, and family. I've already shared with them. Help me to share it again and again, that we would realize that we have much in Christ. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. Please feel free to share this message, but remember, don't charge for it or change it. The Lord's message should be free and for everyone.